Amen. We've just received good news that the water's back on. So we have water once again here at the church. We were told initially 6 hours without water, so apparently it's back on. So that's good news. Good news. But that's no excuse to walk out and go to the toilet during the service. Okay. Now there's better news in the Word of God here in Leviticus chapter 25. Okay. Leviticus chapter 25. Brother Wilson, would you mind shutting that door? That door needs to be shut. And that way the Sunday school children can sing as loud as they like without us hearing them. Well, to a measure. Leviticus chapter 25 this morning. We're going to conclude our study in this wonderful chapter. Let's read verse 10. Down to verse number 13. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 10 to 13, it reads, "And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it, all of thy vine undressed." Verse 12, "For it is a jubilee, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we bless you and we are grateful for your countless blessings. We pray for your blessing upon the nursery ministry as our young ones are being cared for. We also pray for the Sunday school ministry as the Word of God is taught. Lord, we pray that you would work within the hearts of our children, that each one would become wise unto salvation and grow in your grace and knowledge. And Lord God, as we spend these few moments together, we pray, O blessed Spirit of God, that you will teach us, help us to have understanding, that we might respond to the truth of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. We have now come to the final principle of the Jewish year of Jubilee. So far, we have noted three practices that were part of this 50th year celebration of the nation of Israel. From these practices, principles, we have sought to find spiritual application for you and I. The year of Jubilee began with God's people getting thoroughly right with God on the Day of Atonement. It was on the Day of Atonement that the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, the celebrations in relation to the 50th year within the history of the nation of Israel began. So the year of Jubilee began with God's people getting thoroughly right with God. This is our 50th year as a church. Metropolitan Baptist Church will be 50 years this year. And we thank God for his grace. So this is our Jubilee. So we've sought application accordingly from the Jewish Jubilee. And the first principle of the Jubilee was God's people getting thoroughly right with God. Let me ask you this morning, are you right with God? Are you thoroughly right with God? If our Lord was to return this morning and you and I were to stand in his presence, would we be ashamed? I trust not. This is the year to get right with God. And also we studied from this wonderful chapter that the year of Jubilee was also a year of rest for the land. The Israelites were not allowed to sow nor reap for the whole year. In fact, this is the second year of no sowing, no reaping. And this forced the issue of trust, to trust God to provide in spite of their labors. And we need to take seriously God's mandate to rest physically. We're not good at resting. We live in the midst of a very tired society. People are constantly complaining, "I'm tired." No wonder we've moved away from the Word of God and we are not applying the principle of rest. And you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, if the truth be known, we are really no better. And you and I need to take seriously God's mandate to rest. 6 days work, one day rest. Now rest, in accordance to the Word of God, involved two elements that guaranteed true rest. A spiritual emphasis, worship, as part of that day of rest, and holiness as a part of that rest. Worship and holiness are intertwined with physical rest. So if you and I are to be well rested, then we need to take God's word seriously. And on our day of rest, we need to make sure it's a day that we worship. It's a day of worship. It's a day that we rest with holiness in mind. Last week, we looked at that the year of Jubilee also involved the releasing of slaves. The year of Jubilee involved getting right with God. The year of Jubilee involved rest, taking God's mandate seriously to rest. Thirdly, the year of Jubilee involved the principle of release, releasing slaves. If you had a slave under your ownership during this year of Jubilee, you were to set them free. You were to not only set them free, but you were to remove any debts. They were to be released physically, and any debt that they owed was to be gone, debt free. And here we stress the importance of you and I letting go. Letting go of that which we have enslaved in our lives. The year of Jubilee was a year of letting go. Letting go of a security, possibly. Letting go of a negative relationship. Letting go of a possession. Maybe a job that is destroying you spiritually. Letting go of self-will. But maybe letting go of unforgiveness. Let it go. Let it go. Did you hear me? Let it go. Let it go. This is the year when you and I need to let it go. Let it go. Now we come to the last, but not the least, of the Jubilee principles. This is the principle of restore. Restore. Right, rest, release, restore. Restore. All land was to be returned to the original owner. Note there in verse number 10, it talks about, "Ye shall return every man unto his possession. And look at verse number 13. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. So the year of Jubilee involved the principle of restoration. Restoration. All land was to be returned to the original owner. Any property, listen to me carefully, any property or part of that was sold for whatever reason was to be reinstated to its original owner. God made it very clear that he wanted his land to remain within the tribes and families to which it had been allotted. And this was a humble reminder that, strictly speaking, God owns all land. It's his. Note there in verse number 2, please, of Leviticus chapter 25. It reads, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you. So God made it very clear to his people, the land that you are privileged to possess and cultivate and live off, it's really my land. It's my land. Not your land, it's my land. God is the creator of all. God is the sustainer of all. So strictly speaking, God owns all land. But he entrusted specific portions for each of his people. And we have a reminder here that God reminds his people, it's really my land. It's not really yours. I've given it to you to use, but at the end of the day, it's my land. This stems back to the promise made to Abraham. Back in Genesis chapter 12, the promise of a land for his people. This was part of what we know as the Abrahamic covenant. And God holds individuals responsible for what he has given to them. So this principle of returning land to its original owner was also a practical safeguard against those that were out to accumulate and control vast land holdings. Land wealth unevenly distributed was not good for families, nor was it good for the economy. And the same is true today. For people to take care of their families, they had to have their own land to work and cultivate. And because God is the original owner, he established within the year of Jubilee that if you had to sell some of your land for whatever reason, that it was during the year of Jubilee that all land ownership came back to the specific family that it was allotted to. So therefore, private ownership of land gave stability to the economy and security to each family. Now, If you look at verse 25, please, verses 25 to 30 of Leviticus 25, it reads, "If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession." That was the most common reason why land was sold off, or part of property was sold off, because of a financial crisis. Note verse 25 once again. "And if any of his kin," those that are related to him, "come to redeem it or purchase it," you can legally sell land to family. So if you had a cousin that was struggling financially, you had the right to buy their land because you were of kin, you were related. Then verse 25 reads, "Then shall he redeem that which his brother sold." Verse 26, "And if the man had none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession." But note verse 28. "But if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession." So it was possible to redeem a person or property anytime through a kinsman, through a relative that could afford to redeem. You didn't have to wait until the year of Jubilee. But if you literally had no one to redeem you out of your debt, it was mandatory in the year of Jubilee for that land to be restored unto you once again. We have an example there in the book of Ruth, how Boaz redeemed Naomi's land. And he could, because he was related to Naomi. So this principle of restoration is the last but not least of four principles concerning the year of Jubilee. God is the God of restoration. God is the God of restoration. We see this in Genesis chapter 20, please. Go to Genesis chapter 20. Here in Genesis chapter 20, we have an event recorded that concerns Abraham and a king by the name of Abimelech. Note there in verse 2 it reads, Genesis 20 verse 2, "And Abraham said unto Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah." And note what happens in verse number 7. God intervenes. God said to Abimelech in a dream, verse 7, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." So King Abimelech was warned, hey, this woman called Sarah is really the wife of Abraham. You need to restore her to her husband. Otherwise, you are dead meat, in plain simple English. So Abimelech gets the message. Note there in verse number 14, "And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and woman servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife." God is the God of restoration. God demanded restoration. God said to King Abimelech, this woman is not your wife. Don't touch her. Send her back to her husband. God is the God of restoration. We see restoration in Genesis chapter 40, where the butler was restored to his position within Pharaoh's palace. We read in Genesis chapter 42 how Joseph restored to his brothers the monies that they had handed over for food. We read of King David there in Psalm 23, verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. We read there in Psalm 51, please. Go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, please. Note there in verse number 12. Repentant David prayed in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore my joy. That was part of David's repentance. There was a joy that he experienced in salvation, but because of his sin, he lost the privilege of that joy, and he cries out, restore unto me the possession, restore unto me the possession of that joy that is a part of genuine salvation. God is a God of restoration. We read of restoration throughout the pages of Scripture. God is able to restore lost productivity. There in Joel 2:25 it reads, I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten. God promised Israel in Jeremiah 27:22 that he would restore them back in the land from Babylonian captivity. As it reads there in Jeremiah 27:22, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. We read of God restoring the health of individuals. We read in Mark chapter 8, verse 25, that man that couldn't see clearly, he saw men as trees walking. In Mark 8:25, it reads, after that he put his hands up again upon his eyes and made him look up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. God is the God of restoration. God is the God of restoring. Israel was commanded during this year of Jubilee, if they had within their possession land that was not rightfully theirs, given to them by God, they were to hand it back during the year of Jubilee. Restoration. Restoration. Let me ask you this morning, what restoration, that is giving back, returning, reconciling, do we need to be involved in during this year of Jubilee? What do we need to restore? Within our lives during this year of Jubilee? As a way of application, do we need to be involved in restoring a personal relationship? Note there in Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. The restoration of a relationship, possibly. Here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, it reads, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Is there a personal relationship that needs to be restored during this year of Jubilee? My friend, if we are not right with one another, we are not right with God. Did you hear me? Wake up, Australia! Wake up, Christian! Some of the biggest hypocrites in the world are Christians. We talk about people being hypocrites. If we are not right with one another, we are not right with God. Amen. 1 John 1, 3 tells us that our fellowship with one another is a fellowship which is with God the Father and God the Son. So if you and I are not right with one another, we are not right with God. Let's stop playing games. Let's face the music. If we are not right with one another, we are not right with God. If there is a relationship that is not right between you and a believer, then you are not right with God. A believer, a family member, a work colleague. Is there a relationship that needs to be restored? How can we honestly believe that we are right with God when we are not right with one another? What hypocrisy. That's why we don't experience revival. That's why many of us are not fruitful and Christ-like. And as the Lord Jesus said, if you are preparing to worship and you are mindful that somebody has a problem with you, you sense it, you feel it, leave your gift, get reconciled with that individual, and then return and offer your gift to God. Hypocrites. Our churches are full of hypocrites. We look good. We talk right. Carry the right Bible. That we have a problem with a brother and sister in Christ. Or we're not right with our children. Or we're not right with our spouse. Part of the year of Jubilee was restoration. Is there a personal relationship that needs to be restored? Let's stop playing games, Christian. Let's get serious about the things of God. Because if you and I are not right with one another, we are not right with God. It's as simple as that. And obviously this individual that was preparing to worship had some sense that there's an individual that there's an issue with another individual. So it was his responsibility to hold that person accountable. People don't like accountability.
And if you sense that somebody has a problem with you, hold them accountable. Because if they don't have a problem, no problem. But if they really do, watch them melt. Come on. How can we say that we are right with God and we're not right with one another? Is there a personal relationship that needs to be restored? Let's make an application to the need to restore a wayward believer. All of us have a responsibility to do our part in restoring a believer that has gotten off track. Go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." God is the God of restoration. Do we need to restore a personal relationship? Is there a personal relationship that we need to attend to? That needs to be restored? But secondly, is there a believer, a wayward believer in your life? Note verse number 1, it begins with the word brethren. It doesn't read pastor. Got it? I spend much of my time chasing wayward sheep. And that's good and well. That's my responsibility. Part of my responsibility. But it's all of our responsibility as Bible-believing Christians to look out for those fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are straying, obviously. And we have a responsibility to pull them back into the fold. Are you aware of a prodigal son or daughter that needs to be restored, needs to return back to the father's house? You can see the way that they are living is not right and selfish and not spiritual. And you can see that they are wasting their life on riotous worldly living. Will you seek to restore that brother or sister in Christ? My friend, we are commanded to restore believers that are off-road spiritually. But in doing so, the Bible gives us a warning that we are to be careful that we don't become engulfed by or within the process. Restoring a wayward believer. I'm sure all of us are aware of wayward believers. Talk to me. Yes, Pastor, talk to me. Yes, Pastor, okay. We all know of wayward believers. What are we doing to get them back to the Lord? For most of us, we are doing zilch. And that's a sad reality. I'm so thankful that God chased me when I was a little bit wayward as a teenager. And God used my youth pastor that regularly knocked on my door, asked for me, invited me back to church. God is the God of restoration. We know of people that are strayed, are straying. What are we doing about it? Yes, God will chasten, but God uses individuals. God will chasten from his end, but God calls us all as Christians to do our part from our end. Is there a personal relationship that needs to be restored? Is there a wayward believer that you know of that needs to be restored? And thirdly, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 19 to 21 it reads, "To wit, or I witness, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath given and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Is there a sinner that needs to come to the Savior? Well, they're all around us. See, we have been created in the image of God to glorify God. Isaiah 43, verse 7. But the glory of God is marred in humanity because of sin. For Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The glory of God is marred in humanity because of sin. And the good news is that Jesus Christ became sin for us. Verse 21. He hath made him to be sin for us. He that knew no sin, that we might be made righteous, the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ became sin. He took all of our sin upon himself. He paid the debt of sin for all of us. And in Christ we can be declared righteous. And this message of reconciliation or restoration is our mandate from God. Note once again then verse 22. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." This is our mandate. The message of reconciliation is our mandate from God. We need to restore sinful man back to their creator and owner with the gospel of salvation. That's our mandate. We need to restore man that was created in the image of God, in sin, has fallen short of the glory of God. We need to do our part to restore men, women, and children back to their creator, their owner, in and through the gospel of salvation. Restoration. Sinners to the Savior. Sinners to the Savior. My friend, if you are present here this morning and you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, the Bible teaches us that we are sinners and we've fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot please God. We cannot earn God's approval. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He died, he was buried, he rose again. And in Christ you can experience forgiveness and you can be restored to your Creator. In and through the gospel. And my charge to all this morning is, be ye reconciled unto God. It's only possible in and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This message of reconciliation, Christian, is our mandate from God. We need to restore sinful man back to their creator and owner with the gospel of salvation. Easter is only around the corner. A wonderful opportunity for you and I to be a witness of God's saving grace. Restoration. What are you in possession of that needs to be restored back to its rightful owner? I love 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, where the Bible reads, "Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price." Could it be that for some of us, we just need to give ourselves afresh to the Lord? He has purchased you and I with his precious blood. We are not our own. He possesses us by right of salvation. Restoration. The principle of restoration. The last but not least of the four principles within the Jubilee year was the principle of restoration. Handing back that which rightfully belongs to someone else. What do we need to restore at this time? Is there a personal relationship? Is there a wayward believer? And yet we must all admit there are sinners in need of a Savior all around us. The Latin word jubilate carries the idea of rejoicing or being, we get the word jubilant. Being jubilant. And I'd like to submit to you this morning that each of these four elements within the Jubilee are sources of joy. They are sources of joy. Joy that comes from being right with God. Amen. Joy that comes from being well rested. Amen. As one man has rightfully said, I am as spiritual as I am rested. I am as spiritual as I am rested. Joy that comes from releasing that which we need to let go of, such as unforgiveness. And joy in restoring that which is broken or belonging to someone else. In Luke 15, verse 10, it reads, there is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven over every sinner that repents. Joy. Joy comes by being right with God. Joy comes with rest. Joy comes with release. Joy comes with restoration. These principles within the Jewish Jubilee are a source of joy and gladness. And if you and I are serious about wanting to be happy in 2024, during our year of Jubilee, let's make sure we are right with God. Let's make sure that we are resting. Let's make sure that we release. And let's do our part to restore. Restore others to the Savior, to the Heavenly Father. Make restoration in our relationships one with another. Therein is joy, and therein we will be truly jubilant. Jubilant during the year of Jubilee. Let's bow for prayer.